part of the issue with things like this is people defining value for people that aren't them.
Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie with Reason TV, and today we're talking with Courtney Ballacher. She's the director of a forthcoming movie called Little Pink House, which is about the Kelo eminent domain decision from a few years back. Courtney, thanks for talking to us.
Thanks for having me.
Recap the story of Suzette Kelo and her little pink house.
Suzette Kelo was a blue-collar, working-class woman studying to be a nurse in 1999, found a house that was broken down. She was just coming out of a marriage. All five boys had grown, gone out of the house, and she really just wanted a peaceful, quiet life. And she found this dilapidated home, built it back up with her bare hands. And the thing that was remarkable about it is it had a beautiful view of the Thames River in New London, Connecticut. And so she built it up, put furniture in it, and painted it pink. Meanwhile, Pfizer Pharmaceutical was on the other side of the Thames River, and they had just invented a drug called Viagra, and they were looking to expand their facility, and the city wanted to make sure that they would be able to do that into New London, but they needed space to build a campus, hotel, things for Pfizer Pharmaceutical. So the governor of Connecticut at the time, Governor John G. Rowland, made a very friendly environment in New London so that Pfizer would be able to acquire the land and use it for their space. Unfortunately, Suzette Kelo's property was on one of the parcels of that land, and they, meaning the city,
right,
used eminent domain to make sure that she and her neighbors would be gone so that Pfizer could develop.
And they kind of like, they declare the whole area blighted or whatever, and then they say, we're taking it through the power of eminent domain.
Yeah.
And then they just immediately were turning it over to a private developer.
It was a little bit of a process, but the word blight was used because in order to use eminent domain, you have to show, well, this area needs to be redeveloped. Maybe it's dangerous. It was not blight. These were older Victorian homes. Some of the people that lived in these homes were born in them. Most of the neighborhood were elderly people. And the city basically offered them money. That's always how it starts. But of course,
They lowball.
Yeah. But the real issue is, you can't define someone's value. I can't go up to you and say, look, I know what the market value of your house is. I'll give that to you. Well, that value could be way more than money. Maybe your grandfather built that house. Maybe this is your dream house that you've always wanted. What's the price tag on that? So part of the issue with things like this is people defining value for people that aren't them.
Now, the case ended up going to the Supreme Court.
Yes.
And Suzette Kelo did not win that case, right?
She didn't. Suzette Kelo fought all the way, and she did not want to be the face of eminent domain in this country. She wanted a quiet, peaceful existence. But she knew that what was happening was wrong, and so she stood up, and it went to the state Supreme Court first, and she actually did win on that, but they split the baby, as they said. Some of her neighbors would have to leave while she and a few others could stay. And so she and a few others said, no, either we all stay or we all go. And then when they revisited that decision, they lost. And then it went up to the United States Supreme Court, where she lost again.
So this is a classic David and Goliath story, or I don't know what the female version of David is, but it's Dolores versus Goliath. And what's interesting in Hollywood is that a lot of the times it's an agent of the government, you know, a social worker or a teacher or a lawyer going against an evil corporation. So this kind of flips that a little bit, doesn't it?
It does flip it a little bit. The agent in this case was the New London Development Committee, and they were basically an organization that was put in place by the government really to bring in a corporation like Pfizer so that they could redevelop it. It is a David and Goliath story because all of the powerful people, all the people with money and all of the people with connections and pull were in the driver's seat. And Suzette Kelo didn't have piles of money, wasn't lawyered up in the beginning of this process. And so it really was a grassroots David and Goliath story when you look at Suzette Kelo and what she did. Essentially what happened is eminent domain was not used in its proper way. Eminent domain is typically used to expand roads, build hospitals, build schools. It's not used so that I can take from one private individual and give it to another private individual, which is essentially what happened. But there are certain Supreme Court justices who said, yes, but it was for the betterment of the community because it would create more tax revenue.
And that also, it went across ideological lines. There were some conservatives and liberals in the making the decision that, yeah, the government can take whatever property they want as long as it's, you know, good for society or something.
When the decision came out in 2005, it was a very, very close decision. It was a 4-5 decision. And it was remarkable how it united the country. No matter what your politics were, I think 90% of Americans agreed that it was a bad decision.
I mean, in a weird way, I mean, they won. She lost in the Supreme Court of the United States, but then it touched off this kind of widespread rebellion against eminent domain abuse.
Yeah, when I talk to some people about it and say, it's such a bummer ending, she didn't win. Well, that's true, but unfortunately, I think very tragic things have to happen sometimes before people will pay attention. And I think that the silver lining behind this very bad decision and this very awful thing that she went through, really a 10-year ordeal that she and her neighbors went through, wondering if they were going to be homeless, being asked to pay rent on their own property at one point, this was not a quick thing. But the silver lining is that it was such an outrageous decision that everyone was talking about it. Major media outlets were covering it, and most people agreed that it was a very bad thing, and I don't think people would be talking about eminent domain abuse had she won. And as an epilogue, about 45 states curbed their eminent domain laws so that this type of thing couldn't happen again.
And tell us what ended up being built on the land.
There are some feral cats that are building little, I guess, dirt beds and rats and weeds. So it really turned out to be a great project.
Pfizer ended up not building.
Nothing was built. In fact, 10 years has gone by now, and there have been ideas that percolate. One of the funniest things I read last year was that somebody had the idea of, you know what we should build in this parcel of land? We should maybe build like a parking lot with like little houses next to it that people could. And the writer said, you mean like the one that you tore down, the little pink house?
You start filming in the fall?
Yes. Okay. So we are fully funded. We are greenlit film. Mm-hmm. Our production schedule is to shoot in September. And we're in the casting process now. And we are just so excited to get this movie made and out into the world. We want to entertain people. We want to tell Suzette's story. Mm-hmm. But we also want to tell people what happened. Eminent domain abuse is still a problem. There are little pink houses all across the country. And so there's a social action campaign behind the film, too. And we really want to put an end to what happened to Suzette.
Well, thank you so much. We'll look for it when it comes out. Courtney Ballacher, the movie is Little Pink House. It's about Suzette Kilo fighting the government and helping to curb eminent domain abuse. Courtney, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.